Conference is now being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time.
Thanks, Shay. So that's our main, number one priority is our health. So following Dr. Scott, the health department, and the EMA, and others that are directly involved with the direction that they're giving in social distancing and staying at home, that's our number one priority. But we know that the economy is going to be impacted by this health crisis. And so we've been working the last few weeks to make sure that we kind of make sure that we, our small businesses are, listened to, and that's what the purpose of this call is. So today we have the Attorney General, Peter Noronha. Peter, if you could just kind of give it a little overview and also a little bit of the, we are getting touches of some level of fraud that could impact our residents and also our businesses, but if you could touch on that, but just give a little quick overview of what you're doing. I know that we've been on conference calls together twice a week, and we're getting everybody's updates. So thank you so much for being here today and addressing these small businesses.
Sure, Governor, and hello to everybody on the call. Thank you for inviting me, Governor. I appreciate it. I'll be quick because I know there's a lot to cover today. You know, the office, generally speaking, is continuing to do all the work that we would do anyway. We're doing most of it by telework, but we have to cover some of the emergency criminal enforcement calendars. But the work continues, environmental enforcement, consumer protection, et cetera, along with the usual criminal responsibilities that we have. We've also been working very closely with the governor's office to implement many of her executive orders, whether that be around open government, quarantine, isolation, and enforcement, because typically law enforcement reaches out to us for guidance as to how to enforce those orders, notwithstanding that they come from the governor. So that's been a close partnership for which I have been grateful. Relevant to this community, you know, we are seeing a fair amount of fraud-related schemes. They tend to be directed at individuals rather than businesses, quite frankly. But one of the things I learned when I was U.S. attorney was in a time like this, and this was true during the floods of 2010 when I was serving in that capacity, it's generally a good idea to get ahead of these issues rather than wait for fraud to develop and then try to go after it afterwards. There's a lesson that my friend Jim Letton, the then U.S. Attorney in New Orleans, passed along to me having dealt with Katrina. So we're really trying to get ahead of the fraud situation by getting out the information in advance. And so we've been doing that through our consumer protection, through social media. So basically, the reality is, and I suspect many of you, if not all of you, know it, that if someone's reaching out to you to offer you federal assistance, the odds are universal, 100%, that is a scam. And so my overall cautionary note to you would be, is if, you know, the community associations that you're involved in, Better Business Bureau, Chambers of Commerce, if you have questions as to whether something is legitimate or not, that's a great place to go. And you're always free to call this office at 401-274-4400 and connect with our Consumer Protection Unit, which is prompt one when you're in sort of the menu of options. And they're on top of all of the various scams that are out there, whether they be for individuals or for businesses. So that's an overview, I think, Lieutenant Governor, of what it is we've been doing. We have put out some guidance around self-help evictions that probably doesn't really concern this group too much. We have had some allegations or concerns about discriminatory practices towards Asian-American businesses. Really, that's a concern, I think, that's derived from other incidents around the country. We haven't seen too many, if any, really specific actions here, but we're aware of it and are working with our partners in the Asian American community to make sure that that doesn't happen. Again, I think a lot of this is getting ahead of it, putting the word out, letting bad actors know we're here and are prepared to take action, and we'll be doing that. We put out some guidance yesterday about gyms and about what we believe gyms have to do for members now that they are closed, which is effectively give them a refund or cancel memberships. But I think that's an overview, Governor, of what it is we're up to these days.
Yeah, General, that is great. Let me just ask you two questions. One is related to any targeting that's going out there, because we know, I know and I'm aware of some targeting that's happened in the Asian American business community. If that's something like that comes up, they should get directly to you, right, or to your office, right?
Absolutely. So we So what they should do is they're always welcome to reach out here and ask for me. The extension is 274-4400, 274-4400. The extension to get to me is 2338. But also, when you reach that main number, there's a prompt for the civil rights group. And that, if you press that prompt, you will also reach them. I don't remember which one that is. It might be four, I think, it comes to mind. And we'll get on that right away. We have a team that's working on civil rights enforcement throughout the year, and that's a particular focus right now.
And General, thank you for that. And then the other one is, because there's such a lot of online work going on and business being transacted, caution to everybody in terms of potential hacking. I know that I got a notice from one of the business owners that's on the WhatsApp app was saying they'd be careful, don't click this button. You got somebody that's trying to hijack your information. I would imagine that's something that we should be aware of as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, depending on the level of confidentiality that you want to have, you have to be very careful in choosing what electronic platform to use. I know the court here is using WebEx because that is pretty secure. I know Zoom has not been secure, though. I've read in public from public sources that Zoom is attempting to fix that. I would be very careful about that. And if you have some concerns about that, our consumer unit might be able to help as well. But it's something to keep in mind. Look, you know, cyber, I've been involved in as a prosecutor for a very long time now. And cyber has always been one of those difficult nuts to crack. You never want to have to go back and try to get your information after it's been stolen or try to find the bad actors. Virtually impossible to do. So I don't know what the phrase is about. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, whatever that phrase is. But certainly prevention is the way to go on this one.
Yeah, and I would just add into not only your office of being resourced as well, in terms of people are concerned about that right now, they should contact us and we can head them in the right direction so that they can do exactly what you just said, General. You know, a little prevention is always a better. As my good friend John Pottington used to tell me, you never know what you prevent, but that's what you want to do. You want to be in a prevention mode. So, General, thank you so much for taking the time today. I know that you're busy, but I wanted to let the business community know that they've got a big resource in your office, and you've been out there advocating very strongly on a number of fronts. And I just wanted to make sure that the business community, a small business community, knew that they had a real ally in your office with you and the rest of your staff.
Well, thanks, Governor. I appreciate it. Thanks for your leadership. And I would encourage anybody on the phone call to reach out to me either by phone or by email, pfnerona@riag.ri.gov, and we'll get you where you need to go. We aim to be a good service organization here.
Thank you, General. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Governor.
All
Take
good
care.
Work. Yep.
Bye now.
Yep. Next is the Secretary of State on the phone, Nellie Gobert. Nellie, by any chance? We were expecting Nellie to come on. Hopefully she has the call-in information. Shay, please make sure that Nellie has that. So we'll wait for, we'll come back to Nellie. I'm sure that she's doing some stuff. But let's go, is Liz Tanner on the line, DBI director? Liz, if you could come on in. I know you got a time restraint here. Hello?
Liz Tanner is here.
Liz, that's great. Again, I want to just impress on everybody who's on the call and that will be listening to this call that we tape and we distribute it, that the Department of Business Regulation is a big supporter of the small business, and Liz has been phenomenal in terms of answering my questions, and I'm not the only one asking. She's being hit by a lot of different questions, and she gets right back to us. So I like to have her on because she can kind of tell you the up-to-date information that she wants to share. And also I'll remind everybody that's on the call, if you have any specific questions of the Attorney General or anyone that's on the panel today, you can send those to ltgov20@gmail.com. Director, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Lieutenant Governor. I appreciate this opportunity to talk to other business owners. I am the receiver of the several thousand complaints and inquiries that we get from people, and so I have the pleasure of understanding sort of the psyche and the latest and greatest of where people are at. And so as business owners, I think it's important for you to know that the bulk of the questions that I am getting right now is what do I do when one of my coworkers has been sick? So whether it's an apartment building or a building or a manufacturer center or a small shop or whatever it might be, what do I do if somebody is sick? So the answer is it depends on what your physical location looks like. And so I would encourage you to figure out what that means for you and your employees, for those of you who are still operating, because that is probably the number one question that we're getting right now, because you are starting to see more and more positive cases. So I would encourage you to figure that out. I'm also getting, why isn't this place wearing masks? And the answer is masks are really hard to find right now. They are a way that is going to prevent the spread of this disease, so we would encourage you to try to find masks. If you are seeking masks and have been unable to find any, if you're looking for cloth masks, there are several Rhode Island manufacturers who are now making them, and I can provide for you, I'll give to the Lieutenant Governor a list of the manufacturers in Rhode Island that are making them in bulk, so that you can place an order with them to get some masks. And then finally, you know, the same thing goes for your customers. So we have a lot of customers who have said, I'm trying to talk to the store and they're not getting back to me, or I went into the store and I don't feel like they were doing things safe. So I would encourage you to try to do what you can to calm your employees and your customers with whatever it is you do in your shop, because that is a big concern and we want them to feel comfortable still shopping with you in whichever way they can, as well as keeping your employees happy. So that's what I have for now. But if anybody has any questions, you can always go to the DBR website. That's the dbr.ri.gov, and there's an opportunity there to ask any kind of a question that you might have. Or you can call our hotline, which is 889-5550. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Liz, and I just got one question before you leave, and it kind of just reinforces what you just said, because we are getting people who are concerned about workplace conditions. Are they observing that? If they have observations that they want to draw attention to, they can go right to that website that you said, and they can put in their concern. They can type in their concern, so you'll have that. Is that correct?
They can type. I mean, I think if they're looking for medical information or sort of advice, then I would encourage them to go to the Department of Health. If they're looking for more general business guidance or some ideas on how they can operate their business during this time, they should feel free to reach out to the Department of Business Regulation.
That's great. Thank you very much. Liz, thank you so much again, and we appreciate all the hard work that you're doing on behalf of our small businesses.
Thank you.
Great. So we'll go to the Secretary of State, Nellie Gobert. I want to just say that the Secretary has an enormous amount of resources that they have been putting available to small businesses, and I wanted Nellie to come on, Secretary of State, because she wanted to share some of the things that I think are very important right now, especially as we're doing virtual type of businesses virtually. A lot of our businesses are being done virtually, and Nellie is a great friend of the small business community, and I'm really appreciative that you're here today, Secretary. So the floor is yours, and we appreciate you being here. All right, we got a little bit of a snag, but I'm going to just hold on a second. We're going to get Nellie on, and I'm going to tell her how to get on, because she's probably talking into a mic and that we're not hearing. Hold on.
I think it finally worked.
Good. You're there. Good. Well, the technology.
This is very,
you know,
anybody who knows me knows how frustrating it is for me not to be heard.
Well, no, but Lieutenant Governor, you're on, Nellie. I think you heard my introduction, and I really appreciate it. These small businesses, you know, hearing from the general and then hearing from our Secretary of State lets them know that we're connected with them, and that your office is always a step away for anybody that is asking for advice or asking for information. So please share some of the things that you think is important at this point in time for these small businesses to hear.
Yep. Thank you so much, Lieutenant Governor McKee. I really appreciate the time and all the efforts that you've been and your team has been undergoing for our business community in the state. This really is an executive branch team effort on behalf of our economy and our people here in Rhode Island. So, in these unprecedented times, we've been seeing a lot of resiliency from Rhode Islanders. And at times like this, it's really important for government to be there for each of our residents, and particularly our small businesses. So over the past several weeks, I had been hearing about the need to execute documents in a safe and secure way, that the regular, you know, in-person notarizing of documents was no longer available to people. So my office worked with Governor Raimondo, the Rhode Island Association of Realtors, the Rhode Island Bar Association, to enable, on a temporary basis, remote online notarization. So that means that if you have a transaction that requires a notarized signature, there is now a way to actually get that done. So what remote online notarization does, it's a process by which the documents are notarized in an electronic form, and the signer and the notary public are not physically in each other's presence. So during this notarization process, the parties are able to communicate simultaneously using audio video technology, and common documents that require notarization are wills, real estate transactions, lending applications, professional licenses. What remote online notarization is going to allow is for both notaries and their customers to stay home while properly executing important legal documents. And so I want to thank Governor Raimondo and her legal team who worked with us to develop the solution. It became effective April 3rd until the termination of Rhode Island's state of emergency. You can find a step-by-step guide and more information on our website at sos.ri.gov. And certainly if you have any questions as a small business owner, please call us at 222-3040. That's our business services division. They're there. They're answering calls. They're trying to help people through the times that we're facing. And while I'm at it, let me just point out that we've also, just before the pandemic hit, had unveiled a new business services website that really has a lot of information for small businesses. So either for the remote online organization or for just more general business information that you might want to review, feel free to contact us. And then finally, I can't leave the stage without asking every single person in this call to please help us fill a complete census count. So ask your employees if they've received the documents to their mailboxes. Everybody at this point should have gotten the census documents. It's really important as we go forward and more federal monies are being distributed that every single person in Rhode Island be counted, from our babies to our senior citizens. So again, and if you have any questions, please feel free to contact my office. My email address is secretarygorbea@sos.ri.gov. And thank you again, Lorraine.
Secretary, thank you so much. And I do encourage people to go to that that portal, that website that that the Secretary and her office has established for the small businesses. It is a real step forward in terms of making sure that our state becomes more and more business friendly, and she's been a champion on that. So, Secretary, thank you so much for your time today.
Yep.
So I'd like to go to somebody who is maybe sometimes challenged on all this technology. I had a little experience with him on Wednesday, but we're going to bring him back again on Wednesday. But Director of Veterans Affairs, Kasim Yan, has been a champion for the veterans, not only, those who are, in particular in this call, people who are veterans who are in business or are working for small businesses, that we make sure that we have jobs for them when this whole health crisis ends. But And Kasim, the director, is going to get on now. He's going to tell you a little bit about a portal that is designed for veterans, and also the impact that this is having on the small business community and the veterans, in the veterans world. Director, are you on?
Good afternoon, Gov. You got me?
Yeah, I got you. Oh my God, I can hear you loud and clear. Can't see you, but I can. You're looking. I'm sure you're looking good.
I feel good, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity to participate in this important call. You know, there's no secret when it comes to what drives Rhode Island economy, simply our small businesses. You know, more when the governor stated during her inaugural address, as you recall, our size is our strength. And nothing wrongs my heart more to see how our state can come together again and to rally to action amid this crisis. You know, when we talk about small business, that does not fall solely on a few agencies. We need our Chambers of Commerce, DBR, Commerce, the AG's office, Secretary of State, Treasurer's office, our local municipality leaders working together to build this work, just to name a few. In our veteran sector, there's no difference. Through our Line of Service platform, we're able to connect veterans and military families with our service providers, the no-wrong-door approach to providing those services. You know, this platform, we started this approximately 3 years back. We launched it 2 years ago, and it enables our providers to operate a collaborative network to A, share information, but more importantly, connecting those veterans and military families with the services that they need, and especially amid this COVID-19 crisis. There are an array of ways you can reach out to my office. We have our local number, 921-2119. Someone will pick up and leave a message, and we'll definitely get back to you in a timely manner. We also have two state websites, one for general inquiries and information, our vets.ri.gov website for general information, and also, too, if you need services, our RhodeIslandServes.org website as well. So both of those portals are interchangeable. So if you reach out to one, we will connect you and reroute you through the other one in that capacity, too. And the bottom line is getting those veterans and military families to the services that they need. And I would be remiss if I didn't talk about briefly about our other partners in our network, specifically our federal VA partners. I communicate with them on a daily basis to ensure that our veterans and our military families' needs are being met. Partnering with us is our Center for Women Enterprises. As you may know, Rhode Island is the Veteran Business Outreach Center, we call them VBOCs, Veteran Business Outreach Center's headquarters for all of New England. This is a partnership with our Small Business Administration. It equips our veterans, active duty personnel, their families with resources to help them maintain and run their businesses. And it's truly phenomenal work that the Center for Women Enterprises is doing on behalf of our veterans. A while back, the governor had launched the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Initiative. Our office was there at the forefront to be a strategic partner. And again, this forum is tailor-made for serving our small business at large. Again, thank you, Lieutenant Governor, for all the work that you're doing. And I'm a firm believer that, you know, when you're doing this work for the people, in the people business, you got to be a good listener. And this venue provides the opportunity for our small business to have a voice in our community so we can impact change and work in a collaborative way together. Any of your questions, team, that's all I have.
Yeah, so anybody's got questions of the director, again, you can send them towards his office, but also you can ltgov20@gmail.com. We certainly will get any questions that you ask. And director, we have a very diverse state, and we have small businesses that represent all different types of communities. And that's one of the reasons that we're pulling. We have several hundred businesses on this call listening to you right now, and several hundred more will hear the recording once we get distribute it out through our social networks. But part of that community that makes up our small business community is veterans. And so I really do appreciate you coming on board today and explaining to the people listening that you're listening and you want to help them out. And you have helped them out in my experience over the time that I've been in office in a real, real significant and very sincere way. So thank you so much for being here. We'll direct things towards you. But again, because we're such a diverse state, there's not a one-size-fits-all, as I'm reminded, about our businesses. And the veterans play a significant role in our state, in our small business community. And I encourage them to be contacting your office director to make sure that they're getting the full services that they are entitled to and that we want to provide. So what's that, riserves.org?
.org.
Is that the site?
Correct.
.org.
riserves.org.
Okay, Director, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for your wonderful work during this time frame. We're all in this together, and we'll be smiling in a short period of time, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Please stay safe, everyone. Happy Good Friday.
Right back at you, Director. So I'd like to spend about 2 or 3 minutes on the update on Get Forward, and then and we're going to have a good half hour, I think, on a business panel, which we're going to as a follow up from Tuesday. So Justin, could you come on the line, please? And I don't know whether Chris Lally is there with you or not, but if Chris is there, he could come on as well. And I wanted to just go to Justin for an update on the Get Forward program and how that's growing and how the how that work is helping. You know, really going to be helping small businesses down the line. So please come on the line, Justin, and if Chris is with you, I'll go to Chris right after that, and then we'll go to our small business forum. Justin, you're on there?
Hey, sorry, I didn't have my mute.
Okay,
phone.
Justin, great. Beautiful.
So if anyone has been to the site, you know, from the beginning, you'll notice that it's changed dramatically since we put it up. We launched our version 2.0 this week. Our original version of the site was really meant to handle just a few hundred businesses on there. Right now, we're approaching 900. I think we're just a few shy of 900 small businesses that signed up to the website. The new site's a lot easier to navigate. It's much more user-friendly. It allows for volunteers to go sign up. So if you want to sign up and help us, you know, with different resources or different events as we move this site forward, you're able to do that now. It also gives businesses and consumers a way to have a voice and a success story. So if you're seeing, you know, people are buying gift cards from you, or, you know, people are taking part in buying some online services from you, you could send us a quick video chat, you could do a quick email for us, and we're able to post those on the sites to see that, you know, the site is working. We've done some promo links, so you'll be able to link the site, you know, directly to your Facebook, your Instagram, Twitter. So those will be there for you. There'll be a live link. You can just drag and drop it, post it right in, and you can share the site for yourself or for your neighboring business. There are some testimonial videos on the site now. There was a gentleman who's a realtor that bought $600 worth of gift cards from various places, and he is giving them away for free for various acts of kindness. Since we launched the second version of the site, which was, I believe, last Saturday, we've had 18,727 people go on the site. Again, we're just approaching 900 people. Total from the site, so from about 3 weeks ago when we started this, we've had just over 72,000 visits to the site. And out of all these visits on the site, we've had 3,800 people click on the Buy a Gift Card Now option. So, you know, it's definitely, you know, traffic-driven right now. With that said, we do have our ads live right now on the web and TV for WPRI there, launching commercials continuously throughout the day to promote consumers to come to the website and purchase gift cards from their business. Lamar is doing our billboard production right now. They'll be going out in a week or so. We'll have about 3 billboards. And then starting in May, they're going to continue on to drive business to the site by doing some additional billboards. The LG's office has also been working with some iHeartMedia advertising, so there will be some additional traffic through iHeartMedia, some public service announcements pushing consumers to the website. We got some good articles coming up in the Sunrise, the Warwick Beacon, and the Providence Business News will be coming up. And the site is live on Senator Sheldon Whitehouse's resource page. So the community is coming together, and I just want to thank everybody for, you know, taking time to, you know, help out with this. It's been a tremendous task. It's been an honoring task, and I look forward to, you know, continuing as we move through the pandemic.
Yeah, thanks, Justin, and we're talking regularly, and the volunteer efforts here to help the small businesses, what you're doing and what Chris Parisi is doing, and now a new person, new partners we talked to this morning, right, with Laurie Guterri with the RI Thrives is going to get linked in, and now we have a partner of a lot of highly creative people trying to drive business and awareness that our small business, drive business to our business and awareness that our small business are very important. So, Chris, very, very, very thankful, and thank you for Justin, thank you for your work. I don't know if Chris Lally is called in. If Chris is there, I'd like to maybe pull him forward. He's been helping on a texting program. But if he's not there, I'll just encourage everybody to go to our website or to the rismallbusiness.org, register your cell phone number and other information, and we're accumulating hundreds of businesses so that we can just one push button text you on things out of our office that we think are important during this time frame with different deadlines and different types of announcements. We think that we can assemble several thousand small businesses in one spot. The last thing I would say, I'll give you my, before we go to our businesses that we want to bring on the panel, and our businesses that are on the panel, you know, might as well unmute yourself so you're ready here. But we're trying to put this large group of small businesses together so that we can work together during this crisis, during the recovery, and after as we move forward and you know, down the line. So your participation is so important. You're calling in and getting involved. Anybody out there that would like to volunteer or has other things they want to say to me personally, I'll give you my cell phone number again. Many of you have it. It's 401-465-6204. That's 401-465-6204. And we've been guiding people through individual issues and also people who are looking to help and participate in a volunteer effort. We are trying to put together a team right now that could specialize in all the grants that are going to be coming our way, whether it's a Verizon or whether it's Visa or whether it's Google or whether it's Facebook. There's a lot of activity that's happening. I would encourage people to go to it individually to get that, but we'd like to streamline that into one spot and then create a group of volunteers that have the, you know, the aptitude and the interest in actually trying to drive as much of this grant money into our small businesses as possible. So anyways, that 401-465-6204. So we're going to bring on our panel for a second, Chris is on the line, but Chris, come on in. You know, Chris is from a radio station down in Westerly. You can just quickly introduce yourself, Chris, and then we'll go to Bill Casillas. I got Bob Bacon from Greg's Restaurant and Bonnie Gomes from Newport Chamber, as well as the radio station in Newport. So, Chris, just introduce yourself, and then we'll move on to the panel and which we are involved in, and talk about a follow-up on Tuesday's call and the letter that we just have sent to our congressional delegation on behalf of the small business community just this morning. Chris, welcome. I don't know that Chris is there. Bill, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Bill, we'll start with you. And just give everybody a little just quick overview of what we've been doing since Tuesday. And then I got Joe Rodeo on the line, right? Joe, you're live too as well. You guys might all join together. Unmute your phones, I think, unless there's background, just mute it. But and then Bonnie, you're here as well.
Yes, I'm here.
Great. And yep. And Bob Bacon as well.
Yes, Governor, I'm here.
Great. And is Chris on the phone there? Chris. Well, Chris is still having trouble, but I'll get in touch with him. So anyway, Bill, just give us a quick overview, and then we want to get. Okay, Chris. Thanks. All right. Well,
all right.
Bill,
I just want to say, Chris DiPaolo, WBLQ 96.7 The Buzz and I-95.1, and thank you for doing these calls. Appreciate it.
You got it. Well, you're included in this little session, and we'll include you in as we go along, because there's a lot of things that we've talked about that impact our small business that we want to create a little forum. Again, people who are listening, ltgov20@gmail.com. We're interested in your overall perspective and also your individual needs. So make sure you're contacting us. So Bill, get us a quick overview and then the work that you've done, again, volunteering on behalf of the small business community to put together kind of a punch list of things that we want to talk about today. Floor is yours, Bill.
Thanks, Governor. As you know, Bob Bacon and I and a lot of restaurateurs behind the scene with the Cello's Group and Davenport's Group and Antonio's Pizza by the Slice Group, we're kind of working with Rhode Island Hospitality and the National Restaurant Association to kind of just address the specific needs of small businesses with the payroll protection payment loans, and kind of the fact that they had certain restrictions in order for it to qualify as being a grant, and how in just the reality of how things shook up and the timing of it all, that we were basically asking for more flexibility in the application of those funds. And we kind of worked with you and your legal counsel, Joe, to put together a memo that you sent out to our congressional delegation on our behalf, which I think it's going to catch people's ears in Washington. And the real issue is the whole theory was continuity of business and that you would get the money, and for those 8 weeks, you'd use the money that you got to pay your payroll and keep people employed and not furlough them. It's just a timing issue. We're in our fourth week of this, so we laid off a significant portion of our staff, and a lot of small businesses had to lay everyone off and completely close, especially close contact businesses like hair salons, barbershops, et cetera, gyms. And they're telling us that here's this money, we'll get it at some point, and I think I'm getting my money next week, and then you have to use it in an 8-week period. Well, you know, we're lucky if our businesses are operating at 30-40% capacity, and we're willing to take that extra money and pay it to our employees that are home, but they were already on unemployment, and with how some of this incentivized program, the extra money that going in to help them, will actually hurt them. So we were just looking for flexibility to kind of work that out, and we kind of put together, I think, just some reasonable requests that will help all businesses. That's really
Bill, if it's okay, could I just follow up on one point?
Yeah, Joe, please.
Thank you. We were also, Bill, as you know, and for everyone else's knowledge, we were also chasing down a couple of other points that we thought maybe could just be clarified by the SBA, and the governor's a little bit concerned on the follow-up we had just before this call. So we will send a follow-up letter with that regard. But something that I think is causing a lot of confusion, whether it's the way it's worded in the regs or otherwise, is that the number of employees that are on your application, they need to be the number of employees subject to, you know, the proportional reduction that you're paying during that forgiveness period. So regardless of the fact that there's some language out there saying that you have to be at full employment by June 30th, that is because that's the covered period. But if you're below that employment threshold that's on your application during the 8 weeks after the disbursement, then you're going to be disqualified from the forgiveness and have a loan. So I think that's a very important point for folks to understand. And also just please be aware, you can go on to the social media and you can see the letter that he already sent. Just be aware that the governor is going to send up a follow-up, hopefully as soon as this afternoon, but just as soon as we can put it together, to point out that that provision is going to cause, in our view and from what we're hearing from you folks, a lot of disqualifications because people either don't understand that or just from a practical perspective can't get their people back on the payroll in time to meet the threshold that would not have them either be reduced or disqualified entirely from that forgiveness. So that employment number in your application is where you have to be for your measuring during the forgiveness period and not just by June 30th. And we'll be sending a separate letter just on that topic because, you know, the governor's so concerned about that.
And Joe, on the application when we did that, it was based on the full-time equivalence of the covered period of February 15th, 2019 to June 30th, not 2019, correct?
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. So, okay.
So I think that we, again, what I think Tuesday's call and the comments that were made by the panel, you know, that we had on, certainly has prompted more questions than answers, but we need to ask these questions and we need to direct this information to our federal leadership to make sure that they're weighing in. And that's what we were asked to do by our congressman on the call on Tuesday, was to direct information to them so that they can shape the whatever new legislation or whatever type of amendments that they need to make to satisfy our business, the needs of the small business community. And I think that what Joe just talked about is, clarification there is going to be very important. Otherwise, you're going to have businesses thinking that they're doing something correctly, and then when they comes time to get the forgiveness, they're not going to get as much forgiveness as they might expect, right, Joe? Is that, if they don't do it properly, right?
Or at all, depending on the threshold.
Yeah, or at all. So I think that these things need to be clarified as we go through it. Joe, is there anything else, or Bill, the points that you wanted to try to make? I know that the issue of, the conflict between the PPP program, which is meant to keep people on the payroll, and the unemployment issues, which are somewhat in conflict with one another. I think that we need to discuss what the intent was there. Joe, you want to just kind of weigh in before and set up that discussion, because of how important it is that DLT, follows the rules of unemployment. And if you got a job, you're not on unemployment. If you're on the unemployment, you don't have a job to do it. But you want to just clarify that a little bit in terms of presentation, so that we get a clarification on how to make sure that our small businesses are operating properly, and also that the employees continue to have jobs as a result of that PPP program. Joe? Uh-oh.
Yep, sorry. Yeah, I think we discussed earlier that, we're hearing from a lot of the small businesses that the messaging from DLT in that regard is, if you're called back to work due to the Paycheck Protection Program or otherwise, but you're either afraid to go to work or state that you're afraid to go to work, that you don't have to and you can stay on unemployment. So the discussion the LG and I have had is about just opening some communication with that office to make sure that, for example, the folks that you reach out to put back on the payroll for compliance, but that aren't asked to go into work, just making sure there's some, credible connection to those concerns that people have, are followed, because it's very possible, maybe even likely, that DLT just isn't aware that in math that would cause a disqualification of forgiveness for a lot of small businesses and leave them with a two-year loan as a result of that. So just, understanding the concerns and the needs of the unemployment program and people that, maybe are immunocompromised or have specific issues might have, just opening up a line of communication to make sure that, all parties, including the businesses, are considered in that messaging and in the application of that program. And the other thing I just want to raise quickly is there has been a lot of discussion about the ability to pay people that do come in more through the Paycheck Protection Program, more than the folks that you may be putting back on the payroll but are also staying home. And that technically is available, but the issue with that approach is that you have to obviously be spending 75% of the forgivable expenses on payroll, and you have to be keeping your FTE level. And so what happens is, if you do want to take that approach, you're going to be spending more than the 75% on payroll. It's got to come out of the 25% other overhead costs in order to still qualify for forgiveness, and with your FTE levels and pay those folks a little more. So those are the two issues that have been discussed.
Complicated stuff, for sure, Joe. And Bonnie, do you want to just weigh in on some of the things that you're talking about? I have Jennifer Ortiz on the phone too, but I'll go to her shortly. But Bonnie, do you want to just weigh in on some of the things that are front and center with some of the things that are currently on your mind?
Well, that conversation put some new things on my mind because I've already got an employee that is concerned about coming back to work. And if that employee opts not to come back to work because she is of an age where she feels endangered, and then I filed and she doesn't come back to work, then my loan is not forgivable. Not that I have it yet. I filed again, and I think it's all set to go in this week. But, you know, where's the middle ground on that?
Joe?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. On middle ground, you know, it's obviously something that the governor needs to be changed. And but as far as I'm not sure what you mean on the middle ground, but, you know, in that scenario, if she was allowed to, as a result of that, remain on unemployment in order to maintain your qualification, you'd be having to replace her.
Wow. That's a lot.
That's a lot, Bonnie, and that's why the clarification here is so important. That's why this discussion is so important, to flush these things out, so that everybody fully understands what, you know, what we're dealing with. We'll have, I know that...
And Bonnie, depending on if she can be, I don't know, your operation productive, obviously you can put her back on the payroll and allow her to stay home.
Except she is my number one revenue producer.
Yeah, so like I said, I don't know your operation, but...
Yeah, it sounds a little bit, that's a little bit of a brick wall. I think a lot of people are going to have that feeling. But on the other end of it, I think successfully filed. We did a fourth application this week, and so I'm hoping for that. And beyond that, we're just trying to keep things up and operating for as long as we can.
Yes, and I think that the you know, because I was on the calls with businesses from all over the state this morning, and you know, there's still the expectation there that a $10,000 or some up to that level check is going to come in and help bridge the gap here for a short period of time. I'm not aware of anybody that's really received those checks or not, and I would like to hear from some people who maybe have, so I could kind of reflect on the time frame of that, Bonnie. But I just think that it's very important that we're going to continue to interact. We were on the phone with Mark Haywood before this call. He's going to be putting into his schedule to be on this call on Tuesdays and Fridays, again, to continue to try to get up-to-date information and to deliver the gaps that we know are there, because there's still questions on how that program is going to work. And to benefit both the small businesses and also benefit the people who are employed there, which is, that's the intent. So Joe Rodeo is, you know, we're going to keep on working in our office, and Joe's been he's up to speed on a lot of this stuff. So I think we got a good person in Joe to keep on giving us good information, which we want to make sure we're given is good information. Chris, do you want to weigh in? And I'm going to go to Jennifer, and then I'll go back to Bill and Bob about, you know, again, continually bringing up these issues with his gaps. Go ahead, Chris.
Absolutely. I'm so happy to have other local radio owners like Bonnie on too. And I think that's cool, because we are in the exact same business. I just wanted to say something in response to what Justin was saying earlier. Obviously, I don't want to sound like a broken record asking when the money is coming, because that's what I've been asking right along, so I'm going to stay away from that today. Getting back to Justin had talked about purchasing space on billboards and iHeartMedia, where right now especially it is so important to keep that advertising money local. When you have, you know, local radio, local small business owners that
Chris,
impact
Chris,
a lot of people.
Chris, let me just interrupt for saying those are all donated, by the way. We're not that was not being.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well,
so,
that,
so
I guess
Lamar and then the spots that we did on some radio today, which are PSAs. These are all
PSAs.
All
okay. Right.
These are all people who are kind of stepping up, including Justin. He's not getting paid for all the work he's doing either. So these are all volunteers. I just want to clarify that before you.
By the way, we
totally agree with you, and, you know, it might be a good idea to, you know, just bring up the fact that Joe Rodio's brought to our attention that there's a letter that's going on behalf of our local small media markets, businesses, and we want to really be supportive of that. And I bring that up for all the other businesses that are listening in. I know that that's important. But go ahead, Chris. Sorry about that.
All right. Well, then we too will donate public service time. And I also wanted to say that's a great letter that was put together. You know, all these days have been complaining every day, but I have to compliment that was a wonderful job, and I think great teamwork from everybody. And I just, you know, pray we see some of this funding soon. But at the same time, I remind everybody, even though those are PSAs, to, you know, when you need to get the word out about something, make sure you use local radio, because that's how we keep the economy local. And, you know, people like Bonnie and myself and, you know, Dave Richards and whatnot, you know, keep the money local.
Yeah, we're all in on that. That's for sure. And that's part of what Justin is doing with Chris Preci and now Lori is in her business is all, they're all partnering in, and the whole billboard program, all the stuff that's happening right now, Chris, is to really highlight the importance of our small businesses. And I'll repeat what I've repeated before: we don't want anybody to lose their house, nobody to get kicked out of their apartment because of the or no food on the table. But we don't want any small business have to shut down because of this virus and that we're operating before the virus. So I don't know where to go yet, Bill. Do you have something that you want to add in? I do have a comment from another business that who's having the same frustration that's texting me right now, that they just need some clarity. Their anticipation of the emergency money out of the EIDL loan has not materialized for them either. And so those are the type of things that we need to keep on bringing up, because the more this is about you know, using our voice, advocating in a way that's professional but is very very pointed and very specific, and making sure that we're in contact with our, you know, with the SBA, with the decision makers, with our delegation. Bill, do you want to weigh in with anything? And I know Bob's on the line too. I don't know if Bob.
Yeah, Governor. Governor, it's Bob Bacon. I'd just like to add a little bit with regard to the PPP program. I think it was well intended. I think, as Representative Cicilline described to us the other day, the intention was that we would have our employees on our payroll during the shutdown, and then that we would have them there to, as we ramp back up and business would go back to business as usual. I think it was a great program designed for a short duration of a shutdown and a very quick return to normal. Well, I think now we can see clearly that neither one of those are going to happen. The shutdown has not been short. It's not going to be short. And the return to normal is going to be gradual and long-term. And I think that the letter that you wrote is a fantastic start to what we really need to do, is take what is supposed to be a lifeline for small business, the PPP program, and restructure it and change the rules so that it can work just as that. I think the forgiveness part of it, basically the way it's written and the reality of the situation we're in, is a trap. I mean, I've got the PPP loan. I'm afraid to use it. I can't use it the way it's described because the duration is going to be too long. I could use it over a longer period of time, and I know I can bring my business back to full swing over a longer period of time, and that could be very beneficial. But the way it's written right now, I'm going to end up with a two-year note that's going to strangle my business for the next 2 years. It's just going to slow down the destruction of my business. And I think a lot of other business owners are in the same situation. So I think our effort should be to take what is intended to be a lifeline for small business and make it just that. And it, with some change that you began to you describe in your letter, some of those changes would do just that, and I think that's where we have to put our effort and our concentration on.
Well, like Chris says, I mean, we it's really important, and again, thanks to Joe Rodio and Bill Katsilas to have shaped a lot of that through our conversations. Very difficult to put something in concise language that actually can be acted on, and I think that we'll follow up with our congressional delegation, and I think that they'll have information that other congressmen and senators don't have just as a result of this conversation. That's why this is so important, Bob, and thank you for, you know, participating. I wanted to go to Jennifer. Jennifer, you're there, right? You were on the
I'm here. Can you hear me?
yes, and you have a comment or a question or a contribution to make here. So go right ahead.
Thank you. There's a lot of verbiage on the PPP. Can we get some more verbiage on the EIDL forgivable loan for sole proprietors or businesses that only have 1099 employees? When we don't have payroll, we don't qualify for the PPP. So can we get a little more clarity on those? I also have a couple more for Justin. I was one of the businesses that signed up right at the beginning. I didn't have a website or gift cards. Now with the help of Lieutenant Governor, I do. I send you my links. Is there any way to update my posting? And as a business owner that has completely shut down her business, I see other barbershops that are still running. What are the repercussions, fines, losing your license for people that are still open? I have a lot of military police that are required to still get haircuts, and I have to turn them down, and it breaks my heart to not be able to service our frontliners. But then I see other barbershops that are open and still doing it. So it puts me in a hard place.
Yeah, so Jennifer, anybody who's open, they need to close. That's the rules. And if they're not, then they're going to get reported, and they're going to, and then there's going to be problems that they're going to have to face. So if we're notified of somebody that's operating when they shouldn't be, we're going to notify people because we're all in this together, and we have to understand that the only way that we stop the virus is by distancing as much as we can and following what the governor and what is being told for from our health department, Dr. Scott. So just share that information with us. We'll keep everybody's, we'll keep it private on who's giving the information, but that's really important information. The other one is that has come up over and over again, and I believe that if it's not in this letter, it will be in the next letter, is that sole proprietors and are not really able to participate. I was on the phone with several yesterday on the PPP because they don't have payroll, but they do have overhead. And so we're asking our congressional delegation to create a loan forgiveness program for our micro business, very, very small businesses, because right now they don't have that option. And in the EIDL, the only thing that potentially could be, there's no forgiveness in the EIDL loan. It's just an emergency advancement, but you have to have staff because you're only limited to $1,000 per staff up to 10, with a 10 max on that, Jennifer. So that doesn't satisfy what you're just asking. I don't believe Joe Rodio might want to weigh in on that. But, Joe, you want to just comment on that, what Jennifer just said?
Sure. That is one of the concerns and issues that's raised in the letter. It's really all about providing flexibility that covers all of our business, including businesses with few or without employees. And so the letter is asking for the next funding of the PPP to open up that program in some way by creating an alternate qualification for very small businesses that don't have payroll. As far as the EIDL program, I'd have to get back to you on that exactly. I do know that you can use it for either overhead or payroll costs. I believe that includes just for overhead costs if you don't have payroll. But to give you the right answer, I'd want to double check that.
Yeah, I think Mark's told us operational expenses, but we can get detail on that. But again, our sole proprietors, we're advocating to have some level of forgiveness strategy, the same way as the other businesses. And as Bob Bacon pointed out, there's still uncertainty in terms of how that forgiveness works. And we need to figure out how to, make sure that it's what it was intended to do, it does. So we got like another minute or so. I don't know whether there's anybody, I can kind of end the call right now, but if there's anybody on the panel that has something that they really want to add to the conversation that hasn't been said, here's your opportunity. If not, we'll try to keep to this 1 hour time frame and respect the people's time out there. But so hearing nothing, I just want to again tell everybody how important it is that we continue to pass the word that we participate in these calls. The numbers do matter, and as we deliver messages either to our congressional delegation or to our state network of leaders, which is the next step because we need to make sure that the state is ready. And I know we have senators and reps that have been on this call, and I've been talking to them. We want to make sure that they are ready to take up the task of helping our small businesses, make sure that they are going to be able to recover from this. And the state, I have asked the state to make sure that and the governor as well, that we keep that in mind. So anyways, I want to just thank everybody that was on this call today. This will be recorded. We'll have another call on Tuesday, same time, same number, and we'll be our office has been individually contacting people. Now we're going to text it out so that, you know, the reminders will be simply texted out to one group. Please make sure you participate, and we want to hear from you either directly to our office, 222-2371, or even individually to me, 401-465-6204. We appreciate your time, and stay healthy, stay safe, and I'll see you. I will talk on Tuesday if I don't talk to you sooner. Thank you to the panel, too, for participating, along with the General, Secretary of State, Liz Kanner, and our Director of Veterans Affairs. Appreciate it very much. Have a good day, and enjoy the Easter. Thanks.